And a welcome back here in Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora inside the Cafe Kubal Studios, hanging out with you where sports meets that thing called life. This is the Fantasy Football Power Hour, not one of, not a, but the Fantasy Football Power Hour. And Mike and I have to get to every single game. We're going to do exactly that. So we're going to hop right into it. Mr. Sofka, how are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, Dan?
Doing very well. Mike, we got Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday games. 4 days of games. I tell people all the time, those Saturday ones sneak up on you. Make sure you set your lineup and ready. Let's go to Thursday here. Kansas City at the Chargers. What do you got?
Yeah, this is going to be a good game to watch. I'm real excited for this one. But, of course, you got Patrick Mahomes as a guy you have to play. You know that. He's number four on the rankings. And looking for Justin Herbert, well, there he is right next to Patrick Mahomes at number five on the rankings. So look for a productive quarterback play in this one. And, well, you got to talk about the running backs here as well. Austin Eckler, top 10 all year, top five when he's healthy. Austin Eckler, number seven on the ranking. And well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a little further down, number 18. And looking at the wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, of course, top five, top three all year long. Keenan Allen, when he's healthy, he's there as well. He's number six on the rankings. And Mike Williams is really come on this year, number 16. And, of course, when we're talking Kansas City, you have to talk Travis Kelce, number three on the rankings here. And Jared Cook, number 18. Looking at this game, even though it's in L.A., I'm going to take the Chiefs on the road.
Yeah, you know, Chiefs, obviously, I think at this point in the season, this is where we're going to start maybe seeing them return to what we were hoping for. I have a good feeling about the Chiefs moving forward here at this point. Pat Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire worth playing. Tyreek Hill as well. Byron Pringle has stepped up but hasn't done a ton in fantasy. He is there, though, if you got to go really, really deep and you got to grab somebody as a late flex. Travis Kelce, obviously, worth the play. On the Chargers side of things, Justin Herbert throws a great ball, done some good things, and I feel good enough about putting him out there like Mike was talking about. Austin Eckler, if he's able to go, he was limited in practice with an ankle injury, so just watch that. And then Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, I agree with you. Mike Williams doing some good things. He was limited with a heel injury, so watch on that. And you got some banged-up tight ends, so I'd probably stay away from that. I'm going to go with Kansas City as well to win this matchup in this week of fantasy football. Mike, next one up, we have Saturday games. The Vegas Raiders at the Cleveland Browns. Interesting day to have a game. Interesting game to be have with the Raiders and the Browns facing off.
Well, it's going to be real interesting being eight Browns and the head coach probably won't make the game, testing positive for COVID, including Baker Mayfield. So Baker Mayfield, the coach, Jarvis Landry, Wyatt Teller, and Drew Forbes, two offensive linemen, tight ends Austin Hooper and Ross Travis, wide receivers JoJo Natson, and defensive end Terrace McKinley, and offensive tackle Jared Willis. So I would stay away from a lot of Browns players just because of what's going on, and you never know, they could add more to this list. The protocols are a mess, so I just really don't even know where to begin with Browns. But on the Vegas side, Derek Carr checks in at number 19. They're saying that Nick Mullins would be the backup. According to depth chart, it shows something different. It shows Case Keenum, but we'll just have to see. So I wouldn't suggest a quarterback play in this one. Looking at the running back situation, well, Nick Chubb is a guy to have, of course, but not sure if it doesn't look like Kareem Hunt is going to make this game. So no Kareem Hunt. That means an uptick for Ernest Johnson, you probably put him in there as like a flex player for you. Looking at the wide receiver thing again, Jarvis Landry's out, so I'm not sure who else I'm playing from Cleveland. Looking at Vegas, Hunter Renfrow has been the man. He has stepped up when Henry Ruggs, you know, had that tragic situation there. So I would definitely play him. He's a wide receiver one. And going over to the tight end position again, not sure that I'm playing a tight end from Cleveland. Maybe a David Njoku, if he's healthy enough, he would check in at number 11 on the rankings. Darren Waller, watch the injury report, watch the Friday practice for him. He's number 14, but we still may see some Foster Moreau peppered in there as well. And I'm going with Vegas just because of the COVID outlook.
Yeah, you know, this is an unfortunate part, and we think that we're through it, and then something happens like this. Blessings, prayers, and hopes that everyone that needs to heal heals, and that we stop hearing about people getting it, people stop getting it, and that we can move forward. Not just stop hearing about it, but that people don't have it and we can move forward from this pandemic and be safe and healthy and happy. That's my prayer for everybody to the Almighty God, because that to me is important than anything, including football. On the Raiders side of things, Josh Jacobs worth putting out there. Hunter Renfro worth the flex. Darren Waller, watch on that, like Mike said, due to injury. And then outside of that, you know, Nick Chubb right now, it's looking like he will be able to potentially get out there. I mean, Jarvis Landry, so many people on here. I mean, watch the Chubb scenario. If Chubb is able to go, then that's where I would put my bread and butter for Cleveland. But I'm going to agree with Mike, and I'm going to pick the Raiders, because not only are there going to be guys off the field for Cleveland, but, you know, I always talk about the locker room and how that stuff can affect you. And having a team be this depleted and just looking around the room and kind of seeing a ghost town, that could affect this team down, you know, in this matchup. And I just, I mean, in games like this, you almost wish that they could postpone it to another day so that we could see two actual teams go up against each other and not such a depleted roster for Cleveland going with the Raiders. New England at the Colts. New England's been doing well. Belichick, like I said, hell hath no fury like a Belichick scorned. We know who he is. We know what he does. And Mike and I know that the Imperial March was the song that we had, and he called him the, you know, Vader from a long time ago. So we'll take credit for those things, and Belichick will take credit for the fact that after seeing Brady win a Super Bowl without him, he got pissed. I said, he went out there and spent money like an ex-wife or an ex-husband that just got that check that you sent them. This man was hungry. This man was pissed. And that's bad for the NFL, but good for the Patriots and their fans. They're playing the Colts, which seems like a cakewalk. What do you think about it?
I think it's going to be a better game than a cakewalk here. I mean, I do like Belichick's team in this position, but starting at quarterback, I think you're going to dial, you know, Indianapolis is going to dial up some blitzes, and there's not really a strong receiver on that Patriots roster there. I got Mac Jones at 28 because of that, so I would stay away from him if I could. On, you know, on the other side of the ball here, Carson Wentz should be healthy enough to play. I got him at 21, so not much better. Going over to running back, this is a big difference here. Jonathan Taylor, number one on the rankings. Damian Harris has been dinged up as of late. He's number 26, and Ramondre Stevenson, 31 on the rankings. He's worth a flex for you. Looking at the wide receivers, like I said, I don't have much to pick from New England. Maybe a Kendrick Bourne or Jacoby Myers checking in at 40 and 41. And then you go over to the other side of the ball there, you got Michael Pittman. He's really stepped up in a big way this year. He's number 18 on the rankings. On a tight end, Mo Alie-Cox is all about disappeared. Maybe Jack Doyle at 25 for you. And Hunter Henry, I mean, in week 13, they had a 14 bye, but week 13, he didn't get a target. He only threw the ball three times. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. Right now, I've got him tentatively checked in at number 17 on the rankings here. And I'm going to go with the Colts just because of the home field and the better running game here.
Yeah, this one is definitely, you know, I said cakewalk in the sense of it always seems to go in favor of the Patriots. That's not to take away from the Colts. It's not to take away from Jonathan Taylor and what he's been able to do and leading the nation with touchdowns. There's almost 20 rushing touchdowns this season, just a little bit above James Conner at Arizona. So fantasy-wise in this, Ramondre Stevenson, I agree, he is worth a flex, worth going out there and stealing him away if you somehow can off of waivers or free agency. Hunter Henry also worth a play in this matchup. On the Colts side of things, Jonathan Taylor, I shouldn't have to tell you, but he's worth a play. Nyheim Hines worth a flex. I have him as a lower end, like a running back four, but still worth a flex out there if you need some help and you're looking to fill a roster spot. Not the worst that you can do. I like Nyheim Hines. I just wish his numbers were a little bit better. And Michael Pittman Jr., like Mike said, definitely worth the play. This game's going to be tough. This game's going to be interesting. I know that the Patriots are a strong team. I know that they make things difficult. I said cakewalk because it seems like Belichick just finds a way. And outside of last season, and he still made some people nervous last season, he didn't get the W when it, you know, didn't get the enough W's when it counted to get into the playoffs and do what they needed to do. This year is different. I still think the Patriots are dangerous as long as he's the head coach. But I'm going to agree with you, Mike, and I'm going to say, you know what? This Colts team, in my opinion, despite the fact that it seemingly goes in favor of Belichick when the games are close, if this one is close, watch out for the Patriots to find a way to do it. But there's more fantasy value on the Colts, and in reality, the Colts should be able to handle this game at home in their nice digs where they don't have to worry about the elements because they're playing inside of their closed stadium. So on to Sunday, Mike, Carolina at Buffalo. What do you got?
Yeah, this is a game of two teams going in two different directions, basically. Josh Allen's the best quarterback this week, number one on the list here, number one on the rankings, going up against a weak Carolina team. I think they're going to have problems just dealing with him between the running and the passing. I don't see how they're going to defend against him. On the other side of the ball, well, not so much. Cam Newton's been able to make things look okay, but at the same time, they're not winning games with him. He's 27 on the rankings. That's a problem when you're not winning games. Devin Singletary, number 25 on the rankings. Zach Moss and company struggling to keep up. Everybody, it looked like a committee situation, then it wasn't. Then there was injuries. Then there were healthy scratches with Zach Moss and Matt Breida. And it looks like Singletary is always the guy who manages to find his way to the top. Again, number 25 on the ranking. Chuba Hubbard has every opportunity in the world. We're just not putting up the solid fantasy numbers that we need from him. Number 35 on the rankings. And Amir Abdullah, who's sharing a lot of time with him, is not too far back at number 39. Looking at the wide receivers, DJ Moore, number 13 on the rankings. That's the best Carolina receiver, of course. And Stephon Diggs, the best receiver for Buffalo, number 9 on the rankings. And then there's a little breakup. Then Cole Beasley, number 29 on the rankings. And looking at tight end, you got Dawson Knox. He's the big red zone target. He's going to be a touchdown dependent, number 9 on the rankings. And I really don't know if I could play a Tommy Tremble or anybody else from Carolina. So I'm going to stick with those guys, and I'm going to take Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, Buffalo is one of those teams where they've been hard to read. They've been an enigma this season. They've been a difficult team to really get a sense of, because what you thought they would be doing, you know, there was high hopes for them, and they haven't really come through and given us the results that a lot of Bills fans were hoping for and asking for. They're not in the driver's seat of the AFC East like I thought they would be, so they need to bounce back. Fantasy-wise, Cam Newton, as we talk about, Cam likes him some Cam. So Cam Newton, not a bad play to put out there, especially with Buffalo struggling to tackle anybody in recent weeks. Chuba Hubbard, not bad as well because they struggle against the run. So I wouldn't have him as a running back one, but he's good to fill out a roster if you have three guys you could put out there. Not a bad bet to put out there for your team. And DJ Moore currently has a hamstring injury that's left him questionable. Watch him on that, but he could be a low-end two, high-end, probably a wide receiver three in my opinion this week. Josh Allen, if he's able to go, you put him out there. He was able to finish the game with his toe injury. If he goes in this one, he is definitely worth the play. And beyond that, the running game, as you know, has not worked out for Buffalo, so I'd stay away from it. I go to Dawson Knox and Stephon Diggs. Gabriel Davis stepped up in a big way to make the game interesting against the Bucs, and so he's found the end zone here in recent weeks. I think he would be a good flex wide receiver four for you, and not a bad flex to put out Cole Beasley as well in this matchup. I have Buffalo in the game for this week that we have going in week 15. Arizona at Detroit, Mike. Arizona coming off a tough loss to the Rams where they ran out of time and Kyler Murray ran out of space. He was able to elude a bunch of tackle attempts, but eventually lost, ended the game on being sacked. Detroit has looked better in recent weeks. What's your take on this game in Detroit Rock City?
Yeah, I don't know if looking better is going to cut it. You got to get more wins in the win column. I'm not sure this is the way to do it or the team to do it against. Arizona, of course, has the gifted quarterback, Kyler Murray. He's number 2 on the rankings this week. Jared Goff on the side of the ball, not so much. Number 31 on the rankings. Looking at the running back situation, James Conner, tentatively penciled in for number 9 on the rankings, waiting for MRI results on his ankle. We could see Chase Edmonds back this week, which would be a great thing for those guys to high-five and cover that ground, but not sure that's going to happen. So watch right now. Chase Edmonds tentatively penciled in at 28 on the rankings. Again, watch the injury reports and the practice reports for more on that. Looking at the wide receivers, I got DeAndre Hopkins checking in the 26 range on the rankings. And then There's a tremendous drop off. Maybe Amon Ross St. Brown for Detroit, number 42 on the rankings. And then Christian Kirk, number 45. So not a lot of value there. All the values with Kyler Murray. And then looking at the tight end position, same thing. I got TJ Hawkinson at number 10 on the rankings. Nobody really from Arizona that I can play. And I glossed over the running backs from Detroit because they're having a problem there. They can't get anybody to stay healthy or step up. Swift and Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams fighting to get back. Looks like Craig Reynolds may be the guy. He's probably out there. Might be a sneaky DFS play. Right now I got him ranked in the high 30s as a possible flex for you. I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals on the road big.
Yeah, I got the Arizona Cardinals in this one as well. They've shown me a lot. I think the Rams and the Cardinals would be a great way to end the NFC and see who makes it to the Super Bowl this year. Kyler Murray, James Conner, all, you know, worth the play. DeAndre Hopkins as well. Christian Kirk is sneaky flex for you. James Conner, watch his ankle injury, and I like Zach Ertz in the matchup as well. But James Conner has fought cancer, beat cancer, fought leg injuries. This man is phenomenal. He is strong. He is good. And he is a massive mistake that the Pittsburgh Steelers made by letting him go after his rookie contract. 1 year, $1 million with Arizona, and he's the second leading running back in the country in rushing touchdowns this season. So definitely James Conner if he's able to go. On the other side for Detroit, there's not a lot to write home about. TJ Hawkinson is a low-end one if he's able to play. And outside of that, I really wouldn't play anybody on Detroit. I like Arizona's defense and special teams in this one as well to get some sacks on Jared Goff. The Jets at the Dolphins, Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, well, we might not have any running backs for the Dolphins. They're thinking about moving up Duke Johnson from the practice squad here. They got three players tested positive for COVID at running back. So it's not a good situation there either. So, again, watch these reports. Friday is the indicator. Friday will tell all. So see about that on Friday. These guys got chances to play. They can retest. And I don't know, look up the protocols. It's a mess right now. But going over to quarterback, I'm not playing neither one of these guys. Zach Wilson is at number 30 on rankings. And I have Tua at number 10. You would say, Mike, you just said not playing any one of these guys. This is a different game. When the Jets and the Dolphins get together, it's a different game. But right now, that is where Tua is, number 10 on the rankings. Looking at the running back situation again, Miami, I'm not playing anybody. And the Jets have a muddled mess as well. Maybe a Ty Johnson, number 43 on our rankings, a LaMichael Perrine. Of course, Michael Carter's still out. And Tevin Coleman's dinged up, so you don't not a lot of value there. I got Jamison Crowder at wide receiver, though, for the Jets at number 38. And then Miami, of course, they got Jalen Waddle, the outstanding receiver to his old partner from college, number 15 on the rankings here. And then tight end, well, you know, I got to talk about our guy, Mike Gesicki. He's number 5 on the rankings. New York Jets, not so much. I'm taking the Dolphins at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this game, a matchup of the AFC East, because of, you know, these teams both not being that great, I'm going with the home team of the Miami Dolphins as well. You know, seeing so many injuries and so many guys out, so many issues with the Jets, not a good thing. Jamison Crowder or Keelan Cole are deep, deep flex opportunities for you. There's really nobody that I would feel comfortable telling you to definitely play on the Jets. On the Miami Dolphins, in this one, because Tua's playing the Jets, Tua is not a bad bet for you to get you, I think, somewhere, you know, 20, 30 points in this game, depending on how your scoring system is. I could see him for a couple touchdowns, 250 yards, something of that respect, maybe a rushing touchdown as well. So I do like Tua. I like Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. I'm going with the Dolphins to keep that one simple. Next one up that we have, Mr. Sofka, will bring us to Dallas and the Giants. What do you have?
Yeah, Dak Prescott's going to have a field day. Prescott number 8 on the rankings here. On the other side of the ball, Mike Glennon. Daniel Jones is still dinged up, so Mike Glennon checks in number 29, so I'm not playing that guy, of course. Looking at the running back situation, Zeke hasn't had a Zeke Elliott-type year. Tony Pollard's dinged up. That might help Zeke get some more touches, but I don't know if more touches is the answer. I think more effective touches, more better performance. I can't pinpoint it, but Zeke is not Zeke this year. He's number 11 on the rankings. And Saquon Barkley's still struggling to get back from injury. He's number 14 on the rankings. Looking at the wide receiver situation, Dallas has two really good ones. CeeDee Lamb, number 8, and Amari Cooper, number 23 on the rankings. Sterling Shepard, number 31 on the rankings for the Giants. Not sure I can play anybody else from the Giants. Kadarius Toney, he's the only other guy, but he's dinged up. Looking at the tight end situation, not sure I'm really excited about starting a tight end from either one of these teams. Maybe a touchdown-dependent Dalton Schultz, number 7 on the rankings. You got to understand, when I'm talking about tight ends, the guys that excite me are in the top 5, and in the top 5 consistently. And if you don't have one of those guys, it's almost a crapshoot. But, hey, that's why we do what we do here. I'm going to take Dallas on the road.
Yeah, I got Dallas in this one. Dallas coming off of a nice win against the Washington football team, and now going into this matchup, also in the division of the NFC East. Let's see if Dallas can do something what they don't do. Let's see if they can do what they typically don't do in a season, which is finish. Dallas, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, both worth the play in this one. I think Zeke has kind of relegated himself to a running back, too, because of where he's at. And Tony Pollard has a foot injury right now, so that can help out Zeke a little bit more on the field. Hopefully Tony gets better if he's able to go. He's a deep flex for you and a good handcuff. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper both worth the play, and I like Dalton Schultz finally showing up this year. Outside of that, Saquon Barkley is a lower-end running back too. That's where he is right now, and I think when his rookie contract's over, he's over with the New York Giants. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys in this matchup, and I don't think it's going to be close. With that being said, well, and now it is going to be close. So I should go back in time and say, I'm picking the Dallas Cowboys, and not saying that, but, you know, I could see this game being in the 30s for the Cowboys and in the teens for the Giants. Next one up, Washington at Philadelphia. What do you got?
Yeah, well, what I don't have is a quarterback on this game here. I'm not real excited about the Washington and Taylor Heineke. He's been doing some great things. I'm just not happy with him in this game here. I don't think it's going to be a great game for him. On the other side of the ball, Jalen Hurts seems to always put up fantasy points. He's number 6 on the rankings here. Going over to running back. Well, Antonio Gibson's basically been playing on a broken leg. He's got a fracture in his shin. Somehow he's been able to play through this. He's number 15 on the rankings. Every time I try to discount that guy, he proves me wrong. So, again, number 15 on the rankings. You got to go down to number 32 to find a Philly running back, Miles Sanders. They got a mess. They've had a committee situation, but these guys are rotating being hurt, Boston Scott, Jordan Howard. So, you know, that's the only guy I would really play, Miles Sanders. Going over to wide receiver, Devonta Smith, the highest-ranked wide receiver for Philly for me, number 32 on the rankings. And Washington's got scary Terry McLaurin. I like him a lot. I'm not sure that he's going to be healthy enough to make it in this game, though. So watch the injury report, number 30 on the ranking as of now. Looking at the tight end position, again, I'm not real excited about a tight end for either one of these teams, but I'll take Dallas Goedert at number 6. Again, you got to be top 5 or better to make my book here. Number 6 on the rankings ain't bad, though. I'm going to take Philadelphia at home.
Yeah, this game is going to be a good one because I think, you know, Philadelphia has shown some good signs but have been inconsistent, and Washington has been that kind of, you know, fly in everybody's ear that makes life difficult. Here's the thing, though. With Taylor Heineke injured and Ryan Fitzpatrick injured, that leaves Kyle Allen, who's not a bad quarterback. I covered him when he was at Houston with the Cougars. But if Taylor Heineke is able to play, that's obviously, in my opinion, going to bode better for Washington getting a dub in this one. So he has a knee injury. Watch on that. Antonio Gibson, worth the play in this matchup. Terry McLaurin is questionable coming off a concussion. So really, it's Antonio Gibson on Washington, and that's it. For Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts is hurt, and so we'll see where he is here in his ankle injury that's left him questionable. If not, Gardner Minshew could come back out there and have some fun. Half the running backs on the roster for Philadelphia are injured. Miles Sanders, ankle injury. Jordan Howard, knee injury, left them both questionable. Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell now become more relevant. Probably Boston Scott more so. He's a late flex to throw in there as like a running back 4. Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. I say Devontae's worth the play. Dallas Goedert, lower end, tight end 1, like Mike had outside of the top 5. Both of these teams are injury laden going into this game. I'm going to pick Philadelphia at home, but if Washington was a little bit healthier, I'd feel a lot better about this game going into it. So I'm going to pick Philly. Tennessee at Pittsburgh, Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't have good quarterback play in this one either. Ben Roethlisberger, a shell of himself, at number 25 on the rankings here. And then on the other side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill's been struggling. You take away Derrick Henry, take away A.J. Brown, you take away Julio Jones. What do you want the guy to do? The guy's working with limited pieces. He's been able to kind of keep the ship upright, but it's amazing to me they're 9-4 getting through all this. He's number 20 on the rankings. Like I said before, Derrick Henry's still out. Could possibly make it back before year's up and or the playoffs. We'll have to see how that shakes out. Doesn't help you this week, though. Deonta Foreman's the guy, though, number 27 on the rankings. And then Dalton Hilliard's not far behind at number 34. And, of course, Najee Harris is the best running back on the field, number 6 on the rankings for the Steelers. Going over to wide receiver, I like Deontay Johnson, number 7, of course. Chase Claypool, number 25. Maybe Julio Jones makes it back this week. That's the talk. Right now, he's number 35 on the rankings. Maybe he's on a pitch count, which doesn't bode well for you normally. And then Pat Freiermuth has really been showing up. But again, you're not top 5 in tight end. You're not exciting me. He's number 15 on the rankings this week. I got to go with the Steelers at home. I like Tennessee. I like what they're doing. I like what they've been able to do. But I'm going to take the Steelers.
Yeah, this game, the Steelers have been in a bunch of games. Tennessee has remained relevant. And it shows you just, I mean, how resilient they are and the good coaching that they have. And it also helps that they're in a terrible division in the AFC South where Jacksonville doesn't want to win. Houston doesn't want to. I'm not going to say they don't want to, like literally, let's remember what sarcasm is, folks. They don't, Houston doesn't ever look like they want to win. Jacksonville doesn't look like they want to win. The Colts are somewhere above the equator, below the equator. So Tennessee is benefiting from it like Houston did years ago, where you don't have to be that good in the AFC South. You just have to be better than the worst. And there's a lot of not good in the AFC South right now. Worth the play in this matchup. I would say Ryan Tannehill, not bad to have in this one. I got him as a quarterback, too, so if he could play, too. I'm just nervous about Pittsburgh's defense. I think they're going to be able to get to him and make this game interesting. Dante Foreman, I like him in this one as well. I got him as a running back, 3. Julio Jones is healthy. He's worth the play to put out here. I have him as a wide receiver, 2, though. I've tempered my expectations for him, though, because he doesn't stay healthy. On the other side of it, Najee Harris, definitely worth the play. Deontay Johnson, I like him in this one as a flex or a wide receiver 3 for you, somewhere in that world. Same for Chase Claypool. I like Pat Freiermuth, and I'm going with the hometown Steelers to win in this game in Steel Country. I like it. Houston at Jacksonville, Mike, what do you got? Speaking of the bottom feeders of the AFC South, what do you have for Houston at Jacksonville?
Yeah, you had just mentioned you didn't think either one of these teams is going to win. They're going to make it so one of these teams has to win outside of a tie, of course. Both teams drag it in here at 2 of 11. You're not going to find great quarterback play. Davis Mills is going to get the nod for Houston, number 33 on the rankings. And then Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, you know, you got a feel for the guy. Jacksonville's a mess, and it starts with the head coach. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a change made at the end of the year. That's how bad it is. Number 22 is where Trevor Lawrence is on the rankings this week. James Robinson, number 19 on the rankings, and I'll get into that at another time here, but the usage of James Robinson has been questionable at best for me regarding the coaching staff. And then you got David Johnson, probably going to, you know, be the lead guy, number 37 on the rankings here. It looks like Rex Burkhead's dinged up. Looking at the wide receivers, I got LaVisca Chenault at 39. I mean, Brandon Cooks is a little bit higher than that. He's number 22, but there's not a lot of value up and down this game. You want a sneaky DFS play, take Brevin Jordan. He's touchdown dependent, but he could be a sneaky play for you. He's at 27, and then James O'Shaughnessy at 24 for the Jaguars. I'm going to take the Jags at home. Wow, I got to check that. Am I saying Jaguars are going to win? Yes, I am, because they're playing Houston.
Yeah, I mean, the Urban Meyer saga has been bad, worse, disgusting, horrible. And, you know, I mean, it's just between memes and songs, and I'm sure people could do some, you know, maybe somebody needs to do the Jingle Bell song and put that to the girl that was dancing on him that wasn't his wife. I mean, I'm not a big fan of what's going on in Jacksonville. I don't think the Urban Meyer thing is working. I wanted to see it. I wanted to, you know, see it through and see where it could go. It's gone nowhere. It just seems to get worse. Allegedly, this is going on. Allegedly, that's going on. Coaches getting called out, players, this, that, and whatever. It just seems to be a big old mess. that somehow feels worse than last year at times, but you got to pick a winner of this one outside of them tying. Houston, Brandon Cooks, I would have him as a wide receiver three. That's all I would have for Houston. On Jacksonville's side, I like James Robinson as long as they let him friggin' play. So I like James Robinson. Marvin Jones, Laquon Treadwell, Laviska Shenault, these are all wide receiver fours, late flexes, late additions. If somebody gets hurt and you need to put somebody out there after you look at the injury report on Friday, it's really James Robinson for me. I think he's the best fantasy player on both sides. I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I'm going to hope for the best. But both of these teams look extremely ugly this year. Cincinnati at Denver, Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game because I like Joe Burrow. I want to see him do well. He's been struggling as of late, so has the team. Number 18 on the rankings here, and then Denver's a little bit off at number 15 with Teddy Bridgewater. Looking at the running back situation, well, you know, when you talk about running backs, you're going to talk about Joe Mixon. He's always up there in the RB1 category, at the bottom of RB1, number 12 this week. And then looking on the other side of ball for Denver, Javonte Williams, number 20 on the rankings. Melvin Gordon still dinged up, number 23 on the rankings. Looking at wide receiver, this is a different situation here. I think both teams are tough. Injuries and due to just a lot of other outside things here, they're ranked up and down all over the place. Ja'Marr Chase is really impressed this year. He's number 14 on the rankings. This is one of the lowest rankings I've had for him all year, number 14. So he's been having a solid year. And on the other side of ball, I got to go with Jerry Jeudy, who should be fully back this week, number 28 on the rankings. There's a tremendous drop off after that. Maybe a Tim Patrick or a Courtland Sutton possible flex for you, but that's a long shot at best. Looking at the tight end position here, Noah Fant, number 16 on the rankings. And then for Cincinnati, maybe a CJ Uzuma is at number 20 on the rankings here. I'm going to go with Denver at home in a close one.
Yeah, this game is going to be good because I thought last year Denver was pretenders, but this year they've done some things to make me think that they could actually make life interesting and eventful, not just in their division, but in the AFC in general. So I do like some of the stuff they've been putting out there this year. And, you know, I think that there's some good to be had. And they're a team that I find myself picking more often than not in some of these recent weeks. Cincinnati-wise, I like Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, as he's kind of fallen to a lower-end wide receiver too, but I still like him. CJ Uzuma, a lower-end tight end one. A lot of fantasy value on Cincinnati. On Denver's side of it, I like Teddy Bridgewater, but I put him behind a Joe Burrow. I have him as a low-end one, high-end two at quarterback. Javonte Williams I have out there to start. Jerry Jeudy as well. Noah Fant is a lower-end tight end one. And Courtland Sutton, it's unfortunate that he's been quiet. But I would say that for me, for Courtland, I agree with Mike. He's a wide receiver four right now, but I feel like he's more capable than that. I just have to be honest about where things are at. So with that being said, I'm going to pick Cincinnati. Mike's picking Denver. We picked the same teams all the way through until we got to this matchup. And Mike doesn't see my list before the show, and I don't see his. So sometimes
game here. I like Jimmy Garoppolo in this one, number 14 on the rankings. Matt Ryan, not so much. He's been struggling this year, number 26 on the rankings. Going over to running back, Elijah Mitchell seems to be the guy that you can always fall back on as long as he's healthy. Number 22 on the rankings for Atlanta. It's Cordarrelle Patterson, heck of a year. And then, you know, I'm not telling you anything new here. He's got the wide receiver and running back availability in some leagues. Looking at the wide receiver situation here, Deebo Samuel, as long as he's healthy and on the field, he's a wide receiver one for you. He usually always scores on some sort of jet sweep or something, which is awesome for your running back to do that. Again, number 12 on the rankings. Atlanta, not so much on the wide receiver, but they do have a pretty decent tight end in Kyle Pitts, number 8 on the rankings. San Fran has a pretty decent tight end too. Number 4 on the rankings is George Kittle. I'm going to take San Fran at home.
Yeah, you know, and we got a question that came in here, so I'm going to make sure that we get to that in just a minute. Atlanta shocked me that they came out with a dub. I mean, I know Carolina's up and down and around the corner, and they had this weird and wily world where they let go of Cam for over a season and then brought him back in. So things have been strange in Atlanta, but things have been strange in Carolina too. And Atlanta was able to get that victory. Atlanta in this one going on the road to the West Coast, I don't feel great about it. Cordarrelle Patterson and Mike Davis to me are lower end running backs in really anything. I think Kyle Pitts is where it's at. Russell Gage is a lower end flex at wide receiver and maybe a wide receiver three at this point. Jeff Wilson Jr., not a bad bet, especially against Atlanta, playing running back for the San Francisco 49ers. And then Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk look to play either one of them. I relegate them to flex players, and George Kittle is worth the play as well. I'm going to go with San Fran at home. Mike, we got a question. Start two. Darnell Mooney, Brandon Ayuk, KJ Osborne, and Michael Pittman Jr. Starting two of those, who would we start?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to start Michael Pittman Jr. And, geez, I think I'd go with Osborne, being there's still injuries over there. But Darnell Mooney's looking good. Let me refer to my sheet here, make sure I'm reporting that correctly. No, it is Mooney. I'm going to go with Mooney, and I'm going to go with Pittman.
And that's when I saw this list, that was my first thought. That's my gut that I'm going with as well. So it was interesting to see that you almost went Osborne, and I covered Osborne when he came over from Buffalo to the Miami Hurricanes. But I'm going to go with Mooney as well as Michael Pittman Jr. So, Mark, there you go. So, that's who we are picking for you between those two, or between those four, I should say, Darnell Mooney and Michael Pittman. That's who I had. That's who Mike is going with. We agree on that one, and so we would go with that. Seattle at the Rams, Mike. What do you have? Talk about two teams going in two different directions.
Yeah, Russell Wilson needs to find a new recipe if he wants to continue cooking. I look for a Russell Wilson trade next year. Russell Wilson checking in at number 16 on the rankings here, though. And on the other side of the ball, Matt Stafford was great at the beginning of the year, dropped off a little bit, but now he's back, I think, number 9 on the rankings. Looking at the running back situation, Darrell Henderson still dinged up. Looks like it's going to be the Sony Michel show again. Number 17 on the rankings in Seattle. Rashad Penny, the forgotten guy, showed up last week. I look for him to be the lead guy again this week by far. Number 29 on the rankings. Cooper Kupp, number one most of the year at the wide receiver position here. Number one again this week. He's just getting it done all the way around. Receptions, his yak, yards after catch, leads the league, touchdowns, yardage, all that stuff. He's killing it. And then on the other side of ball, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf trying to get back up the chart. They're at number 19 and 20 respectively. Looking at the tight end position, really nothing exciting. Nothing jumps out at me from either team. All the way down to number 23 is Gerald Everett on the rankings here for Seattle. So looking at, because Tyler Higbee is dinged up. He's out. Here's the deal. I'm not sure that I can play a tight end from the Rams, but I am sure the Rams are going to win.
Yeah, to me, the Rams, I mean, Matt Stafford to Cooper Kupp, even if you're not a fan of the Rams, how exciting is it to watch that? I mean, what a fantastic game between Arizona and the Rams. And like I said, I would love to see that be the NFC Championship. If the Cowboys don't make it up that far, I think right now, Arizona, to me, I mean, really, Arizona, Green Bay, Dallas, and the Los Angeles Rams, lot of amazing talent. But right now, I'd say Cardinals, Rams. I'd love to see, we see that twice a season. I'd love to see it three times if the Cowboys don't make it, because I got some hope for them boys. So we'll see what they do. So that being said, for Seattle, Rashad Penny's back, Alex Collins. It's hard to pick anybody in the backfield for Seattle. They've been so up and down and around the corner. The Rams are going to harass Russell Wilson, so you got to look out for that as well. I think there's better quarterbacks to play for you. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, hard to keep them off. They do dip down a little bit because of the state of Seattle, but I do like Lockett and DK. It's hard to tell you not to play them. Matt Stafford, worth the play. Cooper Kupp, worth the play. Darrell Henderson, if he's able to go, and he's on the COVID-19 list right now. So you're going to have to watch that if he can come off of it. But I think Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson as a flex, Odell as a potential flex, but really Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford, I like what they're doing. I like what the Rams are doing overall. I got to pick the Rams, and I pick their defense and special teams in this matchup as well. So I got to go with the Rams in this one to win the game. Mike, next game up that we have, Green Bay at Baltimore. Huge game here. What an exciting game that you wouldn't expect to see on the on a schedule. The NFC versus the AFC, Aaron Rodgers up against Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson is good enough to go, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson's foot injury is it bringing everything into question here. Right now, I got him at number 13 on the ranking, but I don't have Aaron Rodgers ranked that much higher. I have him at number 11 on the ranking. So both guys at the back end of being a QB1 for you. Looking at the running back situation, Devonta Freeman's checking in at number 21 for the Ravens, and Aaron Jones, number 16. A.J. Dillon, number 24. I like what they're doing. I like the way they're divvying it up. They're trying not to wear one guy out. I think it's a great combination when you're getting the crap beat out of you all game, and then all of a sudden they start running A.J. Dillon at you. That guy runs hard. He's a beast. It's like hitting a wall. Giant thighs, giant legs on this guy. Looking at the wide receiver, little bit different situation here, though. Green Bay, number three, Devontae Adams. Of course, he's always in the top five, if not number one. Marquise Hollywood Brown checking in at number 17 on the rankings. There's a tremendous drop-off on both teams after that. Mark Andrews, the best tight end on the field between both teams, the best across the league this week, number one on the rankings. Green Bay, not so much. I don't think I'm playing a Jose Deguara for Green Bay here, so I'm gonna stay away. I'm gonna, you know, the sharps in Vegas got this game Green Bay minus 4.5. That's always been an unlucky number for me. I'm gonna go with the Ravens to win outright.
Yeah, you know, this game is gonna be interesting, like we said, based on health and who can go. If Lamar Jackson could go, if not, it's Tyler Huntley. They'd be going out there. Lamar is questionable with an ankle injury. This is a prime time game being played mid-afternoon on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers also hurt in this one, and he's dealing with a toe injury. So if Rodgers is able to go, you play him. I like Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon to go out there. Devontae Adams as well. And, you know, outside of that, it's hard to lean on anybody in Green Bay at the wide receiver core besides Devontae and say that that's the guy. It's kind of been a committee. Well, it has been a committee, not kind of, it has been. Lamar Jackson worth the play if he's able to go. Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray are flex running backs. Marquise Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews worth going in this one. Listen, there's talent on both sides. I like both of these teams. This is a really hard game for me to pick because it's if this guy's healthy, if that guy's healthy. I'm going to pick the Ravens in this one, but if Lamar is not able to go in this one, then I'm going to obviously flip it over to Green Bay. And if we see Aaron Rodgers struggle, then it's going to be hard for me to pick, you know, the Green Bay. Or if we see him not get out there, it's going to be hard for me to do that. But Aaron Rodgers, I've seen this man play when I didn't even know if he could walk on his leg, playing on one leg. So I think we'll see Rodgers. I feel better about that than Jackson. But if they both play, I'm going to pick the Ravens. I think that this is a fantastic marquee game, so you better circle it. With that being said, we're going to take a step aside for a fast break. Inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour, not one of, not a, but the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. 7 days a week they're open. Fantastic food. I'm going to put up some pictures of the smorgasbord of food that we had when my lady and I went out there recently. Wildcat treating you well. Leather couches, massive televisions, and every game you can imagine. The Wildcat is your home for all of your watching needs and your relaxing pleasure. I felt like I was in a VIP lounge watching TV with a lady a few days ago. So I want to thank the Wildcat for that. Make sure you head over there to see them. And of course, takeout and delivery, 315-487-2222 for the Wildcat Sports Pub in Camillus, New York. And of course, thanks to Cafe Cubal for being our studio partner. We'll be right back after this fast break with plenty more in Sunday and Monday Night Football right after this.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Kubam offers same-day local delivery of our products, offering no delivery charge for Onondaga County. Shop CafeKubal.com for fresh roasted coffee beans, cold brew, travel mugs, and all your essential Cafe Kubal needs. Cafe Kubal, coffee for the soul.
Sports Pub in Camillus, New York is located on 3680 Milton Avenue in the Home Depot Plaza. It is your family-friendly sports bar and restaurant. Folks, some sports bars aren't family-friendly. Some family-friendly restaurants are not sports bars. The Wildcat Sports Pub in Camillus, New York is proud to be both. It is that marriage that you've been looking for years. The Wildcat Sports Pub is your home base for your sports bar and restaurant needs, games for the kids, indoor and outdoor activities, and enough things on the menu to come back every single week and get to try something new. They're open Sundays from noon to 8 p.m., Monday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Thursday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to midnight. For reservations and party information, call 315-487-2222 for the Wildcat family-friendly sports pub and restaurant.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora inside of the Cafe Kubal Studios. You are listening on .com/WakeUpCallDT and Facebook.com/LiveNowDT here inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour, not one, not a, but the Fantasy Football Power Hour with Mr. Mike Sofka and myself, Dan Tortora. We got a couple games left to go, Sunday and Monday night. Mike, New Orleans at Tampa, what do you got?
Yeah, Tom Brady's been performing really well all year, and of course he's got that great cast of characters around him, so how couldn't he? Number three on the rankings this week, and then, you know, Taysom Hill isn't a bad guy to have for fantasy. I've been preaching him up, and, you know, he was still available at the beginning of this week in about half the leagues. He's available in a lot, so go see if he's out there. He might carry you through your championship. He's number seven on the rankings because what he do on the ground as well as the air, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and sometimes he does call his own number, so that's a good thing. The running attack for both teams is stellar. Leonard Fournette, number two on the rankings, number four for Alvin Kamara. And then over at wide receiver, this is where the biggest difference is. You got Chris Godwin checking in at number five, Mike Evans at number 10 on the rankings. But then I got to drop all the way down to the 40s and almost 50 for Traquan Smith and Marquez Callaway. And then tight end is a little bit of a difference, too. Rob Gronkowski, number two on the rankings. Look for him to put up some stellar numbers. And then, well, not so much for New Orleans. Not going to really start a Nick Vinette at 26 on the rankings here. I'm going to go with the Bucs at home. This might be a sneaky game to play the under in with both running attacks and almost no air attack from the Saints. I'm going to take the Bucs at home.
Yeah, it's hard to go against the Bucs, you know, especially, you know, and it, the reality of it all is that what they've done, I mean, I know they've had some losses this year, but they, like Bill Belichick, as the season comes down the stretch, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they know how to endure. They really just outlast other teams. Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara are the ones to play for the Saints. Like Mike said, the running game is what you lean on. Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Rob Gronkowski worth the play on the other side for Tampa Bay. And with a longer list and I think more out there, I'm going with the Bucs to win Sunday Night Football and move forward. Final game, Mike. Minnesota at Chicago for Monday night. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a better game than what people are thinking about. Oh, the Bears, all the Vikings, neither one of them have a winning record. I think Minnesota is going to show everybody who they really are in this game. They got to because their coach is in trouble. Kirk Cousins, number 12 on the rankings here. Justin Fields, number 17. Looking at the running attack, Dalvin Cook, number 3 on the rankings. As long as this guy's healthy, he's always going to be up there in the top. And then David Montgomery's been having a good year, again, when he's healthy as well, number 8 on the rankings. This is where there's a little bit of separation. Justin Jefferson, number 2 on the rankings this week. And then Adam Thielen is going to be checking in here somewhere. If he's healthy enough, not sure he's going to make it, though. KJ Osborne, like we spoke about before, might be worth a flex for you. The Bears, Darnell Mooney might be worth a wide receiver 3 for you as well. Looking at the tight end position, not sure I'm real excited about either team's tight end. Maybe a Tyler Conklin at number 13 for Minnesota. You know, looking at this game, I want to take the Bears because they're at home, and I think they're capable of jumping up and snapping and catching the Vikings. But I got to go with the team with the better overall players, and I think that's the Vikings. I'm going to take the Vikings on the road.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, too. I'm taking the Vikings in this one. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Tyler Conklin, to me, worth the play in this matchup. On the other side of it, Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. Robinson's dipped to me to a wide receiver, too. Mooney's at wide receiver, too. So these guys can help you out, but I don't know if they're either one of them are the guys that I want to really have to win a game for me. Now, if you need some help on Monday night and you need to have somebody else playing, it's always good to have somebody on Monday night as an insurance policy. So Robinson and Mooney, not bad. David Montgomery, some help there too. But I think there's more value on the Vikings side of things. I like Jefferson and Cook, definitely. Conklin, starting to like him, you know, here in these coming weeks. I've been talking with you about playing him. So I'm going to go with the Vikings in this matchup. And that is how we're going to round things out for Week 15. Mike, as always, I appreciate it. Go to HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com, as well as the Winning Fantasy Football YouTube channel. And, of course, find our joint venture, Winning Fantasy Football, on Facebook. That group you can find by typing in Winning Fantasy Football and joining our Facebook group for free today. For the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Club, Mike Sofka, myself, Dan Tatora, thank you so much for tuning in. Mike, I appreciate it as always.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Look forward to next time.
All right, sounds good. That coming from Mr. Mike Sofka here, where sports meets that thing called life. Want to thank you all for being a part of the show. And remind you, you can watch and listen to the Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora every Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT, Facebook.com/LiveNowDT, and on YouTube.com/WakeUpCallDT. And, of course, you can listen worldwide on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT and on WakeUpCallDT.com. With that being said, I implore you to go and check out our archives. And we have two National Signing Day specials that have already been uploaded and are there for you. So check those out right now this morning as 2022 incoming freshman wide receiver Donovan Brown from Maryland, as well as 2022 incoming safety from Michigan, Mr. Cornell Perry. Two specials there for you on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You can find those on Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and MixLR. All you have to do is go to any one of these platforms and search Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora or Wake Up Call DT as one word, including our National Signing Day specials. And a big thanks to our Central and Upstate New York partners, Cafe Cubal, Carvel DeWitt, the Wildcat Sports Pub, Ma and Pa's Kettle Corn and Popcorn Factory, Progressive Dental, Avicoli's, Canine Camp Dog Daycare, Chick-fil-A Cicero, and Chick-fil-A Clay, Canine Campground Dog Boarding, the Millhouse Market, Lemoyne Dolphins, Pizza Man, Honda City of Liverpool, PB&J's Lunchbox, Victory Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, and Mother's Cupboard for all that they do in our community. Support them today and find out more on each of them by going to wakeupcalldt.com and clicking on any one of their logos on our homepage. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is also the proud multimedia marketing partner of the Lemoyne Dolphins, and it's fins up every single Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can set it and keep it. That is Dolphin Time on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, the first and third Wednesday being AD and DT, including today with new episodes with Athletics Director at Lemoyne, Bob Beretta, and every second and fourth Wednesday, the Dolphin Dive, diving into the stories of student-athletes, coaches, and or staff members at Lemoyne College. Make sure you go to our Lemoyne tab on wakeupcalldt.com and bookmark it, and make sure you join us on youtube.com/wakeupcalldt. Click subscribe. All of our Lemoyne shows are going to be there, AD and DT, the Dolphin Dive, and everything else we do. And, of course, check out more at LemoyneDolphins.com. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora is also the proud multimedia marketing partner of the Marywood University Pacers. Find Marywood University specials with us here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You will find those on Fridays to round out our shows on Friday morning. And, of course, you will find the archive of these shows by going out to youtube.com/wakeupcalldt and clicking subscribe. And, of course, going to our Marywood tab on wakeupcalldt.com. Find out more information by going to Marywood Pacers. All the time on wakeupcalldt.com. Wake Up Call DT. Subscribe to us there. For the Cafe Kubal Studios, for I, for God, and for all of the beauty that this world can bring. Thank you to Gabby Holko, as well as Mike Sofka, for being a part of today's show, and Bob Beretta, three incredible guests. Have a great day. God bless. No stress. Do your best, and we'll talk with you soon.